This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, let's hear the truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Joel, J-O-E-L, chapter 1, verse 7, where we left off last time, minor prophet. Joel chapter 1 verse 7. We have just finished the great book of Revelation, and this is the perfect book to follow up. Now, Joel is called a minor prophet, but he's not minor in content. It just means his book is shorter. All right? Now, Joel is a prophecy of these end times and tells us of the day of the Lord. That'll be the seventh trump, which we learned in Revelation, when the Lord Jesus returns. Joel tells us exactly what is happening right now in the government of the United States of America and in the Church of Jesus Christ right now. Now, he gave us an example last week of the four stages of the locust. There are four stages. They work underground. You don't know they have already eaten up your vegetables until you've already been taken, you've already been had. The locusts strip everything in their path. They strip it completely green. We learned last week that this is what has happened in the United States of America, and they are called the four hidden dynasties, the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation and Zechariah. And they are under the auspices of Satan, and they are Satan's children, the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, who have destroyed our land, stricken, taken everything away, stripped it clean, political, education, economy, and religion. Now, tonight, we're going to see, and today, we're going to see what the locust army, Satan and his children, have done to the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, just before we begin, I want to tell you something. At the last election, God stopped me in my tracks and told me specifically. He gave me a mandate, and he said, reform the church. So tonight, we have begun, but now we're going to accelerate the reformation of the body of Christ, that we be without spot, without blemish, and without wrinkle.
Seven, he hath laid my vine waste.
All right, he the devil through his Kenites, these four locust army there. What is the vine? John 15 says, Jesus is the vine and you, Christian, are the branches. Well, who is Jesus? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You have stripped my Word away. You know, Paul told us to teach the Bible epistle, read the epistle in the church. Isaiah said, line by line. And when Nehemiah went back to build the wall, Ezra the priest got up on a little stage there and read the Bible down line by line, although the lines weren't necessarily numbered then, and taught what it meant. Now, what's happened here, and you're going to hear a little bit later in this, some of the things that have been stripped clean. In other words, the church now is on milk. Or as my good friend Dr. Paul Esposito from this radio station says, you're in the Pee Wee League. Time to come up to the big league, okay? And your baby Christians, I call milk bottle Christians. The church is lethargic, impotent, and very not producing very much fruit. Now, that doesn't mean all of you. I'm sure all of you elect are hearing me. But the body as a whole has no power. If you had power, our country would never have been taken.
And broken my fig tree.
Now, the minor prophet says that Israel is my fig tree. You have barked my fig tree. You have stripped it clean. But who is Israel? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name changed to Israel. Israel had 12 sons, the 12 patriarchs, heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. When David's grandson, Rehoboam, Solomon's son, took the throne as a king of all 12 tribes of Israel. He wasn't a good king, and the tribes split. Two of them changed their names from Israel and called themselves the House of Judah. They were Benjamin and Judah. And the other 10 separated, but they retained their father's name and called themselves the House of Israel. Now, when in 1948, the House of Judah, those two tribes, went back to the land of Israel and reopened the nation of Israel. That is a part of Israel, but there are only two tribes there. So where are the 10 tribes? You can't lose that many people. Well, the Bible says the Assyrian Sennacherib captured the 10 tribes. History says the 10 tribes migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, had another spat, migrated over the Atlantic Ocean into Canada, and these United States of America. That doesn't mean everybody in America would be the pure Israel, because we welcome everybody. Those would be Gentiles. But most of the church in America calls yourself Gentiles because you have lost the word. See, the word's been stripped from you. Do you understand? So he says, you have stripped my word from Israel. That means from the land of Israel, our beloved brother Judah, and from the United States of America. Well, we learned last week you can't even pray in public places in Jesus. And the Constitution, which comes from the common law of England, which is the Bible, that's being decimated. You understand?
Yes.
And where is the word in the church? We're going to study that in a few minutes.
It made it clean there and cast it away.
You know, in Mark 4, it says the enemy will come and take the word. His first job is to keep you from hearing every word of God. Now, he does not mind if you hear milk or one verse and 3 points or a book about the book or quarterly or traditions of men which make void the word of God. But let you get into the mystery of God, he will make sure company stops by, somebody calls, something happens so you can't go. It'll be so sweet and nice you'll think you're a great Christian. And the devil stole the word from you.
The branches thereof are made white.
All right, the branches. Now remember in John 15, Jesus says, he's the vine and you are the branches. Now why would a branch be white? If the branch were still stuck, connected to the vine, it would be green, wouldn't it? It would be evergreen, understand? Now here's what this means. Jesus says in John 15 of himself, I am the vine and ye, you Christians, are the branches. Now, he also says, if the branch, you Christian, abide in the vine, you will automatically bear fruit. See, the branch of the grape doesn't have to say, I've got to bear fruit. Just bears fruit. It's naturally. See, because if you were abiding in the vine and were nurtured by the sap of the Holy Spirit, wherever you go, you change the atmosphere. There would be such a life energy. There would be no deadness because Jesus is alive. And you would change the atmosphere and things would happen and the temperature would change. Nobody connected to the vine is lukewarm.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Repent like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth.
All right. Now, what's he mean here? He's talking about that the word and the church is weak and milk bottle and peewee team, okay? What's he talking about, this virgin thing? You know that Jesus is coming back for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it's an analogy. Jesus is the bridegroom and we are the bride. However, we learned in Revelation that at the sixth trump, we're in the fifth trump now, a time of learning. It's coming to an end. At the sixth trump, someone pretending to be the Savior is coming, the Antichrist. Anti doesn't mean against Christ. He's going to pretend to be Christ. And he's coming in the sky, landing in Jerusalem, calling himself God, standing where he ought not. He is the first bridegroom coming, and the church is set up for a deception. That will be one of the questions in mystery moment. I'll get into that further. So it says in Revelation 13 that the whole world is going to worship him and half the body of Christ, because your names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have no oil, you have no light, you have no truth, you have no word. He's beautiful. He's going to do signs and lying wonders, call himself Christ, peace and safety, and give you anything you want. It'll look like Jesus, a dragon, but the two horns of a lamb. The dragon is the devil, Revelation 20, verse 2, Revelation 12, verse 6. And, of course, you know the lamb is Jesus. So most of the world, they don't know about that, but they'll think he's their Messiah. But the body of Christ, remember he's talking about the church has been stripped. Because you've been taught a lie, fly proverb, you're going to go and marry the wrong bridegroom. Wait, 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 and be virginal for the true Christ.
Now, in the meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord.
All right. The meat is the deep word. It's not milk. It's not pablum. And the oil is the Holy Spirit anointing the Word of God. Now, let me give you a serving of meat. It would take 6 hours to go in this completely, but I'm going to give you a sample, a little touch of my cooking here. All right. Most of the body of Christ, as a general rule, except the elect, Romans 11, do not know that there are three earth and heaven ages. Did you know that? You're in the second age now. Now, 2 Peter 3:6 says the world that now that then was, the world that now is, and the world to come. World from the Greek is E-N-R-H. The first earth age, second earth age, right now where we're in the flesh, and the third world to come. Now, did you not know that? If you don't know that, you will never understand the complete plan. You can be saved, but you'll always be, duh, peewee. Now, let me give you a little teaching on that. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, period. Time, lapse, much time. And in verse 2, much later, and it was without form and void. Now, he created it. Void means empty, nothingness. How can you create something nothing? If you're the worst artist in the world and you sculpture an angel, if it's crooked and legs are straight, you've got something there. The word was is in italics there in the second verse. And that means the translators put it in there to help you understand. And this time they messed it up. The Hebrew is tuhu vavuhu. It means it became. Something happened after God created it so perfectly. Long time. Something caused it to cause God to shake it. Hebrew said, I shake it once, shook it once, I'm going to shake it again. And caused it to be empty. What happened? The first verse of Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1, is in the world that then was. 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age. Now, listen carefully. Don't turn your dial. You were all there, not reincarnation. You were not in the flesh body. Ecclesiastes 12:6-7 says, ere the silver cord breaks, that means when you die in the flesh, your spirit returns to God who gave it. If you return, you were there before. You are, as Peter says in 1 Peter, living stone. See, Jesus is a chief cornerstone, and you're a living stone. In Malachi 3, he says you are his jewels, pretty jewels. And in Ezekiel chapter 28, he says you're the stones of fire. You were in the first earth age. He's talking there about Lucifer being in the first earth age, the anointed cherub, so good for a long period of time. All of you were there. You were the stones. Why does he call you stones of fire? Because God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. You were the children of God. No sin, no age. We're all created the same time. Young, never to die. There was no death. But one day, Isaiah 14, the old Lucifer, so beautiful, so anointed, so talented, so wise, guarding the mercy seat, got bored. Look out when you get bored. And he said, I will be God. He betrayed God. Revelation 12 says he led one third of God's children with him. Instantly, they got up. They were bored too. Ever go, you got to run hither, thither, and yon to find something new? When you find the truth, find your place and sit there and listen to it and work in it. Now, so one third also sat there and just looked at it. That's the lukewarmers. They only get one honorable, dishonorable mention in the Bible. Jesus can't stand lukewarm. But there was one third there who fought for God tooth and nail. Now, in Romans 8, he says he had a judgment there. Whom he foreknew, that's a married term, that little small group in the spirit body fought for God, stayed spiritually married to him. Satan stole the wife and children, all the others. And in Romans 8, he says, the elect he foreknew, he did justify and predestinate, judge, found not guilty. So, God knew this was treason, but he loved his children. And he said to all of us, let us make man in our image, To whom is he speaking? Elohim, not Elohim, the creator. Elohim, God and his angels. You, angel, is a child of God minus the flesh. And he said, let me make you a flesh body and send you through, bringing a new age, and that's where the second one comes in. One time of a woman born again, which means born from above, with the memory forgotten that you betrayed God, and then I'll give you a chance to accept Jesus or the devil. Because it was then, in Genesis 1:1, in the first earth age, that Jesus said, I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. Foundation is Satan's rebellion in the first earth age. Now he said to the elect, you don't have to go. You've been justified, Romans 8. But the elect are chosen. Chosen means favorite, preferred, elected, selected. The elect follow God wherever he goes. God needed someone to come in this one time in the flesh, which he was about to bring in the second earth age in the garden and all of that, to bring forth the mystery of God, a sliver of what you have just heard. And that's called the remnant. In every generation, there's been a remnant. Those are in the Bible. Here at the end time, the very elect. Right here, right now, we're the generation of the fig tree to stand before Satan when he comes, because God can trust us. The first shall be last. The first ones that got up and fought, God could trust the most. And so, right now, very elect. Those of you out there on airland, if this is reverberating in you, you know it's you. And here we are. Now, he shook the earth, the firmament fell from heaven, and what a mess. True north is not true north. But here we are in the second earth age, one time in the flesh. All of you who were not faithful then have free will. The elect do not have free will. We are sent here on a mandate, on a purpose, and we turn on a dime at the direction of Holy Spirit. What an honor, what an honor. Now, did you ever hear that before? If you never heard that, the locust army has barked your fig tree.
The priest, the Lord's ministers, mourned.
Now he's talking about Revelation 1, says, you Christian, this is the Zadok, the very elect, we mourn. Why do we mourn? Some of you are elect listening to me. We mourn because we love the brethren. We know they're deceived. We tell people the truth. And they think, I never heard that. I know. Satan took it from the pulpit. It's in the Bible all the time.
And the field is wasted.
Now Jesus says in Matthew 23, the field is the world. All right, since those 10 tribes for the larger bulk are here in the United States of America, which is why we were a Christian nation, our purpose was to take Jesus and the Bible to this planet. But because the locust army, the four hidden dynasties, Satan's camp, have stolen Jesus and the Bible from America, our land is wasted.
The land mourneth.
And we mourn.
The corn is wasted.
The corn is the bread. Jesus is the bread of life. In Amos 8:11, God says, at the end times, there is a famine in the land, not of bread of water, but of every word of God.
The new wine is dried up.
The new wine represents the blood. There are people calling themselves Christian churches who say we do not need the blood of Jesus. Listen, people, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And nothing can wash away our sins but the blood of Jesus. We want to stand in that blood. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The oil languishes.
The oil represents the Holy Spirit. In other words, because you have been disconnected from the Word and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you have no anointing. You go through the motions. You study the Bible. You go to church, but there's no power in you. You languish. You're lukewarm. You're inertia. You have inertia. You're lethargic, and you're impotent, he says. Now, I want to say something. Be careful. We do nothing but teach every word of God here and pray in the name of the Holy Spirit. And we just get no fame or fortune out of it. We get a lot of persecution. But I can tell you, you can even come here all the time. You can hear me from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. And you can hear it all and know it in your head. But until you swallow it, until it saturates your being, so there's fire in your belly coming up out of you like a conduit, you are still a white branch. So be careful. You must swallow it. You must have the fire of God in you. You would arise when the Holy Spirit hits the word.
11. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. How, O ye vine dressers?
You watchmen on the wall, you're supposed to be watching out. How? You know he doesn't say, pray, oh, Father, forgive us. Listen, prayer isn't pretty. Don't give me your organized prayers and your pretty words. I want to hear you cry. I want to hear you shout. I want to hear the Holy Spirit come out. Pretty prayers are so pretty. You're praying so other people in the room will hear it, how nice you think they are. Oh, my God. If we could all learn to let the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking even in that language, in English. We could change the world because Holy Spirit will be praying through us. And when the Holy Spirit prays, you know he's going to answer his own prayer.
For the wheat and for the barley.
Now, in the natural, the barley is the first crop and the wheat is the latter crop. The Bible tells us we need the former rain and we need the latter rain. We plant the seed in the ground. It needs the first rain so that a little embryo will sprout and come up. But if it does not get the latter rain, it will not grow into a fruitful tree. Now, Pee-wee Christians, as Dr. Paul says, as I say, baby milk bottle Christians, oh, you've been saved. You got the milk. You know Jesus died. He arose. Praise the Lord. It starts there. But then you should go into the meat of the word, says Paul. The meat of the word, the mystery, a sliver, a slice of meat. I have just served you. There is so much more. This is all in the Bible. This is God's plan. You can be saved, but you're supposed to understand it all. Don't you want somebody that loves you to understand you? God wants you to understand him. Why you came through your mother's womb?
Because the harvest of the field is perished.
Jesus is coming back for the harvest. But you see, if you don't have the word of God, and if you go to the first bridegroom, you're not going to be harvested. When he comes back, you want to have some fruit. Look, Jesus, here's Susie. Look, Jesus, here's Tom. Go and tell. Win souls to Jesus. Get the truth to everybody you can. I don't mean one verse and 3 points. I don't mean a little sweet little platitude. I mean the mystery of God. How many people did you text this week and say, did you know we're in the fifth trumpet, the sixth trumpet's about to blow, which means the Antichrist is coming? They'll say, duh, but this is your chance. Go ahead, knock the door down and tell them.
Well, the vine is dried up and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree.
Now, the pomegranate is fertile because it has so many seeds. See, because you do not have the word of God and you do not have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you are not bearing fruit.
The palm tree also.
The palm tree is a sign of victory. Have you ever seen so many Christians with long faces? Oh, my family, my four, and us, and that's all I care about. My job, my truck, my dog, and the world is absolutely about to just be exploded. The Antichrist is coming, calling himself God. You have the victory through Jesus Christ, your Lord. Get up. Why are you so long-faced? I'm glad we're going to be here for the Antichrist. This is the high and holiest calling. Yes, we're going to be delivered up to him. It's a high calling because when we get through with him, we're going to bruise his head. Jesus comes. This is the best of times. Shout. The apple tree. Now, good apple is juicy. It means you've lost your juice, body of Christ. Remember, he's saying the locust army has stripped the church. The church is warped, lopsided, baby, and ineffective for the most part. Now, we always have the elect, but we need us all. And God told me to reform the church, so we're trying.
Oh, the trees of the field are withered.
He calls you a tree of righteousness in Isaiah 61. However, if you would love the word and meditate on the word, say it, talk it, tell it, pray it, sing it, live it, and be filled with the Holy Spirit and let it saturate into you. Don't keep it in your head for knowledge. Let it get in there for revelation. You would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You would bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf would not wither, and whatever you would do would prosper.
Because joy is withered away from the sons of men.
How can you be sad? You say, you don't know my problems. You don't know mine. You see, we all have troubles. and some of us on the front line have more than most, to be quite honest. The devil's trying to take us out. We know that. And of course, the world, America, is gone. We're in captivity. How can we have joy? Well, he says, inhabits the praises of his people. So we just lift up our hands and praise him. Let's take a praise break. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you got the joy? It says you got your presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. And see, if you really had the mystery of God, the Word, and understood what's going on, everything in the news, even right now about Iran, all of that is in the Bible. You're just watching God's Word come true so we can be happy. I read the end of the book. If you don't follow the Antichrist, if you're an elect, we win.
13, gird yourselves and lament, ye priests.
Get on your gospel armor. Put on your warrior helmet, salvation, sword of the Spirit, and get up and fight, church.
How, ye ministers of the altar?
How?
Come, lie ye all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. 14. Sanctify ye a fast. Call ye a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of the Lord your God. And cry unto the Lord.
Now he gave us a solution. This is a twin to 2 Chronicles 7:14. He tells us what to do. He's talking to the church that has been lopsided and weak and ineffective and not hearing the mystery of God. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, not the stuff, face, and turn from your wicked ways, you carnal Christians, one foot in the world, halfway, not faithful, not dependable, always just everything just like the world. He said to you, seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. God says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. Now the Bible, we're getting this. You see, we do it here. So right now, I'm going to do this verse. All of you out there in cyberspace, north, south, east, and west, in the United States of America, any kind of a level of a Christian you are, I say, elect, connect. Connect with me. I am calling a day of repentance for all America, all America, all America. I planted seeds that. Now, those of you in the media, I need your help. I need you to connect me to every state in the union. We know there has to be an elect in each state. We have some here. My announcer's going to give you my number in a few minutes. Call me if you mean business. Don't come here to look at me to see what I look like, appear at me, and enjoy the show. Come here if you are a warrior. Come if you can howl and pray, and if you believe that God will give us our land back. And we meet here every Wednesday night and we pray. But we're going to get this day of repentance going. Media out there, if God is touching your heart, we need a nationwide media connection. And then we have the technology. Come right here to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida. And we'll meet and set a date. And from here, the technology, we will go all over America. And for one whole day, God will tell us which date. We will call a day of repentance and confession in America. And we will call on the name of Jesus. And we're going to ask that we, even the media, will help us buy up all other media time. Come on, let's do it. Let's have victory in America and the body of Christ one more time. Hallelujah.
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 Praise you. Oh, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this hope, Father God. You know who heard. And if your Holy Spirit touched them, Father, connect them to me and let us get this job done for your church. Revive the church and make us holy and pure and come out of Babel into the Bible one more time to lift up in this country the cross of Jesus and let the world know there is a Savior and there is hope. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We praise you and bless you for this beautiful word. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, we'll start there next week in Joel with verse 15. But right now, it is time for mystery moment. In other words, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery, a part of what you heard tonight. Did that get to whet your appetite a little bit?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, there's so much more. Well, Joel 2 says, blow the trumpet in Zion. So I'll do it. Questions and answers. This first question is from Clyde Botner of Florida, Brevard County. Clyde says, everybody keeps saying we're going to be taken out of here, but Sherry, I want to stay and fight. Well, Clyde, you get your request. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, there are a series of chapters. They're called Proverbs, and they're called lie Proverbs because it's a lie. People are telling lies. And it starts there in Ezekiel 13 where God says, I am against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. Now, where did this begin? In the year 1832, a demented woman, Margaret MacDonald, had a vision, and even she, in her warped mind, said, I think it's evil. But then she said, oh, it's Jesus. He's going to come and fly us out of here before the Antichrist comes, so we won't be here with the mean old Antichrist. Two itinerant preachers heard it and said, man, that'll preach, that'll get them. And so they came to America, and they went to the Bible and found a verse that would fit their sermon. So see, you're supposed to read the verse, and that's supposed to be the sermon. And of course, they found 1 Thessalonians 4. And so shall we be caught up in the air in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Okay. Now, air there doesn't mean sky, stratus, nimbus, cumulus, all of that. Doesn't mean there. The air in the Greek is breath of the Spirit. It is true that when Jesus comes, 1 Corinthians 15:52, we are all going to change in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, into our spiritual bodies from our flesh bodies. Now, the cloud there is a figure of speech, which means a crowd. Now here, the subject of 1 Thessalonians 4. See, this is where you don't skip down in the Bible and take a verse and make a doctrine out of it. The subject there is, where are your dead loved ones who are saved? You don't have to grieve for your dead ones like other people do, because when Jesus comes, they, your dead loved ones who were saved, have already preceded you. They've already resurrected, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They're alive. He's bringing them with him, and then they're in the air. They're in their air body. They're already in theirs, coming with him. He's coming right here, not the sky, right here on planet Earth. Stay in the field, he says. And then we're going to change, and we'll be gathered around him right here on planet Earth. See, Jesus, when he comes, he's not going away again. He's going to stay here for 1,000 years during the millennium, and then Father God is going to bring heaven down here, and heaven's going to be on earth. So see, even if you went, if you got mixed up, you won't be where Jesus is. Now, the book of Zechariah gives us a terrific example about that. Zechariah chapter 5, he gives us an example of a woman in a basket. The basket represents harvest time. You harvest your crop in a basket. And of course, it's harvest time, and everybody thinks, you know, that it's Jesus. Remember, 6 comes before 7. Antichrist comes at the 6th trump. Jesus comes at the 7th trump. Over and over and over. We just taught that in Revelation. So this woman in the basket means the body of Christ deceived, who thinks that first one coming is Jesus. So they say, okay, harvest me out. Let's go. And so they start to be taken by a dirty bird, a stork. Now, taken. When you've been taken, you've been had. Jesus said, one's taken and one's had. You've been had. You've been conned. They can't even get up. Why didn't they wait for the great eagle, our Lord? And so they don't get to heaven and they don't get back. Do you understand?
Yes.
It's a lie. It's a lie, fly proverb. Now, some of you say, well, why aren't you saying rapture? The word rapture in the English is not in the Bible. But there is a proverb that says this in the book of Proverbs. It says, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy many. The wicked is the wicked one. That's the devil. He's coming back. He's the Antichrist, the instead of Christ. He's coming before Jesus to deceive you. He's going to be nice and peace and safety, make you think he's God. And it says his robbery. But the robbery in the Hebrew, that would be Hebrew in Proverbs, is rapacity, rapine, rapture. There it is. The rapture of the wicked one shall destroy many. So there you have it, Clyde. Stay and fight. Stay and fight. We got time for one more question. Clyde has another great question, and we'll address that one next time. Dear Sherry, how in the world did God make a woman out of a rib of the man Adam? Okay, well, first of all, God can do anything. All right, here's what we need to know. The rib in the Hebrew reads curve, C-U-R-V-E. God took the woman, man with a womb, from the man. Well, you said, but he took it from his side. Well, how many sides does the man Adam have? Left side, right side, back side, front side. Now, he said, then he sewed up the place from which he took the, it doesn't say rib in the manuscript, it says curve. Men, take your shirts off tonight. You'll see where your curvy woman came from. Curvy Eve. Hallelujah. So with that, I think I'll stop. God bless you. I hope these questions and answers are helping you. And don't forget to call and connect. I don't want onlookers on. I want some fighters over here. We elect connect. And we don't need a lot of people. We just need enough people to get all of America connected. There are some elect in every state, and we have some here. So please respond to that, because your neck's on the line. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to be saved more than anything else. So I would like for all of you who are not saved, come to Jesus. Come to the truth. Come and live with me in Father's house forevermore. Please pray this prayer after me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Teach me the mystery.
Teach me the mystery.
And use me.
And use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Now, when my announcer gives you my telephone number, you might like to call and tell me you were saved. Now, I want to pray for those of you who are sick. Jesus still heals. In the mighty name and the power of Jesus, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings to the north and to the south and to the east and the west. Circulate wherever people are, wherever there is pain, stop pain. Jesus bore your pains. Let all kinds of cancers and diseases and pancreatic cancers and fibromyalgia and arthritis be gone in the name and the power of Jesus. Deaf ears hear, blind eyes see, crippled legs walk, blood be healed, blood clots be dissolved in Jesus' mighty. Migraine headaches be gone in the name and the power of Jesus. Depression be gone. Glad hearts, glad hearts, glad hearts in the name and the power of Jesus. Touch and heal your people. Resurrect, O body of Christ, not only in the word of God, but in your body. All healing virtue flowing out now. All from the top of your head, the soles of your feet, restoring. Body parts that are missing grow back now in the name and the power of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You might like to call me and tell me you were healed. Tell me your miracle. Now, I want to invite all of you here to my school every Sunday, 5 p.m., word and prayer, and every Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., word and prayer. I'm teaching a different book live on Wednesdays also. And on Wednesdays, we really put on our warrior outfit, and we call down the enemy's camp. And so it's good exercise for our day of repentance. Now, remember this. When you think of Yeshua Jesus, his name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19, 13. In John 17, 17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." God bless you so much. I love you with all my heart. And if God is willing, I will see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth. with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at the same time for Trumpet of Truth.
It's a I see Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
God reigns forever, your in this moment, I am unafraid to take part in this suffering and be called by Jesus' name. And I stand unashamed. Count all gain as loss, take all my pride and sinfulness and nail it to the cross, and I stand unashamed.